All I wanna do is watch football. All I wanna do is watch football. We fell down, we fell broke, like we ain't got a hope. Like the times when you're down to 10. And what can you do when they're coming at you? You gotta take it back to them. Done what we should, fought as hard as we
Hello, welcome to the session of the unofficial Dons Trust Board election candidate hustings facilitated by the Same Old Bumbles podcast. I'm Joe Blair. I'm a Dons Trust member. I've been a Wimbledon supporter for about 40 years, and I sit in the West Stand. I'd like to ask Hazel Potter, my co-host, to introduce herself.
Hi, I'm Hazel Potter. I'm a season ticket holder in the Movers End, right at the back. You probably see me at many, many away games as well.
Okay. Thanks, Hazel. So this year there are 13 candidates standing for election to the Dons Trust Board. They are James McDonald, Daniel Allwright, Richard Shepherd, Mark Lewis, Joshua Perrin, Adam Proctor, Julian Earhart, Mike Hasty, Colin Shergold, Chris Phillips, Kevin Rye, Graham Price, and Matt Lowndes. All candidates have been invited to join one of these sessions. The following candidates have informed us that they are either unable to attend or are unwilling to attend. That's Mike Hasty and Daniel Allwright. I would say that all candidates' manifestos are available on the Dons Trust website. If you go to https://thedonstrust.org/elections/2022-election, you will find all the candidates' manifestos there. You can also pose questions to candidates in your own time via the Dons Trust Pro Board's message board, which you can find at https://donstrust.boards.net. The format of this session will be round table, with each of the co-hosts asking an initial question, each candidate in turn responding, and then there'll be some follow-up time on each question. After we've gone through each of the questions, there will be a two-minute slot for each candidate to make closing statements. In this each session, we will pose four questions to the candidates. And in the interests of consistency and fairness across the three sessions, each candidate will be asked to endeavour to spend up to 2 minutes maximum on each of their answers, so as to allow candidates the same amount of time to speak and for some follow-up between the candidates before moving on to the next question. So can we begin, please, by asking for each candidate and attendee here to do an introduction, say a little bit about yourselves. And once we've done that, we'll move into the questions themselves. So if I can start with Chris Phillips, please.
Can you unmute yourself, Chris?
Gotcha, right there. Sorry about that. Grandad and technology. Right. Yes, I'm Chris. I've been a Dons fan for the best part of 50 years. The early part of those 50 years, I don't remember much, but certainly having gone back to the football in the 90s and Selhurst Park, I became the PA host up there, working match days for the club. That then transferred through to AFC Wimbledon, at King's Meadow, all the initial stuff there. On the King's Meadow PA, and latterly have resumed that after a break at Plough Lane. I have a debenture seat at Plough Lane. Never used it yet because I'm always sitting in the media area. And that is about it. If I spoke for 2 minutes on the radio, I'd be sacked. So, I have a background in radio. There you go.
Right. Thank you, Chris. Let's go with Richard Shepherd next, please.
Hello. I'm Richard, and I sit in the East End. I've been supporting the club since 1996. I went to my first game when I was three. I go with my family, and I've made lots of friends along the way. And looking forward to these hustings.
Excellent. Let's go with Julian Earhart next. And do you prefer Jules or Julian?
I don't mind. Once things get personal, it's always Jules. So Jules is great. But this is personal, you know.
Cool.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jules, or Julian Earhart, born and raised in Wimbledon. First went to my Dons game with my dad when I was 8 in Plough Lane, and which is 30-something years ago. I'm a bit of a weird one. I've lived in London, born and raised in Wimbledon, but America is where I've been for 10 years, Australia, Japan. So I've lived all over, but throughout that, stuck with the Dons. I've got a season ticket in the West Stand with one of my boys. And I've not always there, obviously, because I'm based in New York, but I've also got two sets of families to join because I gave them my tickets when I wasn't using them. I'm off in London. And so we've got four extra season ticket holders as a result of that. So I always make sure the seats are filled. I've got two kids and an Australian wife.
Great. Thank you very much, Jules. And then let's go with Adam Proctor.
Oh, hi, everyone. My name's Adam. I'm in the main stand. My great granddad took my dad to see Wimbledon, and so I had to follow, obviously, from the 80s. So I come currently with my daughter and my dad as a season ticket holder. For my day job, I work at a university. And yeah, I think that's probably about all you need to know about me for now.
Great. Thanks very much, everybody. So what I'd like to do now is hand over to Hazel Potter to begin with the questions.
Okay. Thanks very much, Joe. Thanks, everyone. Nice to meet you all. I'm going to go through the questions. What I'm going to do is I'll start with a different person going first each time, just to make it fair. If you're first the first time, you'll be last the next time. I'm going to ask Richard to go first on the first question. I'll read the question. If you want me to repeat any part of it, because they are quite long, then just let me know. And as we said earlier, we'll do about 2 minutes for each person per question. And if anyone's going over, Joe's going to keep an eye on time. So the first question, so go to Richard first of all. Why are you standing? And if elected, then at the end of your term, what would you expect to be able to highlight as specific achievements you'd help the board deliver? And how will your own personal and or professional experience help you to deliver? So, Richard,
I'm going to split this into three, because it's kind of three questions. So first one is, why am I standing? So I want to make sure that the Dons Trust operates to its full potential. I've looked at the Dons Trust structure and I see that, you know, board members are overworked. I see fan and members' opinions being ignored. And I see too many blurred lines between the club, the PLC, and the Dons Trust. Although the governance restructure changes are happening, you need somebody to continue that, somebody with a strategic background who knows how to make it work. So leading into my experience, so I've worked for a charitable society where income is always tight. I've worked for a tourist company where it's all about having the best experiences when they're in. I've also worked for a bank and also secondary school as a secondary school teacher. So each of these jobs have given me a full, fully rounded perspective. So in my current role, I apply a lot of strategic judgment and making sustainable business decisions on a day-to-day basis. And I'm also very open to talk to everyone about everything. So talking to people is a really key thing for me. All ages, all backgrounds. You know, I understand talking to younger adults based on my teaching experience, but also I've had to talk to conflicting stakeholders in my work. You know, in a charity, people want money for certain things. They both can't have them. So how do you manage them? How do you say, yes, you can do this now, maybe someone else could do it later? And I think that both those skills are really important. I try to make sure that I'm visible across all platforms, online and in person. And I'd say that I'm a listener, a thinker, I'm tenacious and I'm quite skeptical. And I think that that's a perfect blend of what is needed for a Dons Trust board member. So final part of that question was, how do you highlight specific achievements? So I think the strategy that has been made needs to be really, really clear. And you need to be able to, for members and fans to access it. I'm a strong believer in KPIs, which are key performance indicators. And if they're sent on a regular basis, the fans and members can see what's on track, what's not on track, what needs to be improved, what doesn't need to be improved. And then together, that will be able to make it easier for everyone to see what has succeeded and what hasn't.
Thanks very much. That's great. Does anybody, in terms of what we went through there, does anyone have any comments or any follow-up points they want to make, any of the other candidates? If you do, just raise your hand. No? Okay. Okay, that's great. In that case, we'll move on. I've got Adam as going second this time. Adam, do you want me to repeat the question again?
No, that's okay. I've got it in front of me.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's quite a long question.
Yeah, no, it is quite a long question. Absolutely, yeah.
It's a bit more nerve-wracking getting the questions in advance, to be honest. I found that stressed me out more than last time. So I'll go for it. So why are you standing? So I obviously stood last time, so I'm standing for very similar reasons in that I feel the club is at a fantastic position to sort of kick on to the next level. And I don't think we've hit a ceiling. I think we're at the bottom of the rung in terms of where we can go as a fan-owned club. So I would like to support that journey. So that's why I'm standing now. I'll do the same as Richard. I'll take the middle, the bit about sort of how my experience might help that, and then come back to the achievements. So I've worked in a university for a long time. And so as a big organization, I've kind of been at strategic level. So I'm quite interested in developing the vision and the mission for the Dons Trust. And I think I can help them to think differently, and also to sort of bring that strong arm of why I think we can continue to be different and why we should be different. So I kind of want to bring that. I've been very fortunate to have started and engaged in a number of things that are quite future facing. So I run a games design course that is the most diverse course in Europe in terms of its intake of students. And I did that by standing out as different. And I remember going to events when I was starting the course where individuals say to me, well, that's not how the industry does it. But standing out and being different made it so that I have really employable students. Actually, in fact, the employability of the students from my program is over 90%, which is fantastic. And I'm really pleased about that. And I think that's by doing things differently and trying to think strategically. I've also got a background in sort of interaction design and games design. And so they're all really fast moving, technology driven areas where you have to kind of think a few steps ahead of the game. And I hope I can sort of bring that type of thinking to the board generally. In terms of specific achievements, I think it's just going to be bringing in, helping the board to create, and I'll talk about this a bit later as well, helping the board to create a mission that allows new investment, new initiatives, new income streams that we haven't seen before, potentially from areas that maybe haven't been involved with football before. I think the achievements you want is as a board. So I'm not sure I'm going to bring anything individual. What I'd hope is that the board can achieve a number of things to show that we're working more with fans, working more with local communities, working more with different types of investment, and showing that we're increasing our revenue throughout the next year to 2 years, depending on the term.
Okay, that's great. Thanks very much, Adam. Did anybody pick up on anything that they wanted to pick up on? Any hands raised? Not seeing any. Okay. Adam's looking relieved. Okay, well, we'll go on to the next one. So the third person I've got for this question is Jules. Jules, do you want me to repeat the question, or are you okay to just go into it?
No, I think okay to dive in.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. Great. I'm going to say the question in my responses. So why are you standing if elected? I just very much feel like the club I love may need me if I'm putting myself forward. So I can see we're in a bit of a situation, but just like Adam says, I think we have so much potential ahead of us, and working together, I think that's how we can begin to realise it. So for me, it's an altruistic exercise. It's not for reputation or anything. I've actually been on the board of a 135-year-old members club in Japan, which introduced football to the country. It's a thankless task. And frankly, you don't do these things for anything other than trying to serve something you love. So that's why at the end of the term, I would love to highlight an achievement we'd delivered together as a board, which is a vision for the club, you know, a 10-year forward-facing vision as a company, as a healthy business with a good P&L, as a brand, and of course, as a team. We can't affect matters when the whistle blows and it's down to humans at the end of the day. On a pitch, but we can do a hell of a lot around that. And that's as a vision, as a brand, and as a business. So I think we'll go into that in the second questions as well. You know, do we have a comprehensive marketing strategy for the next 10 years? Do we have a marketing calendar? Is the is it being executed by professionals with experience rather than amateurs who put their time forward, which is super welcome and appreciated. But I think it's time to make this transition to a fully professional organization, whilst of course serving us, the fans, who are the owners. And I think that's the role the board has to play. In terms of my experience, I've covered it in the manifesto, but you know, I've worked for quite a long time in sports marketing. I've worked with FIFA, UEFA. I've been, I think it's 6 tournaments, 50 plus matches working with both major brands and the sponsorship activation programs around that and the FIFA handlers who are looking after that. So I've got a degree of experience in the commercial side of football, which I think would be useful. I've run a 300 person company, 4 countries. Now I work with startups a lot. So setting out visions and brands for multi-million and multi-billion dollar companies is what I've been doing for the last few years. And I want to bring that to bear for us, you know, just any degree of expertise that helps us set out a vision and brings us all together at the end of the day. So yeah, that would be me.
Okay, that's great. Thank you ever so much, Jules. Does anyone have anything they wanted to follow up with Jules's answer? No? Very good. Everyone's getting on. It's nice, isn't it? I like this. Thank you. Okay. And then, so last, by no means least, we've got Chris. Chris,
I'll
again.
Go straight in.
Yeah, you'll just go straight in. Great.
Yeah. I'm glad that all these pragmatists and strategists are putting themselves up, because I'm the kind of hopeless romantic and the dreamer here, I think, because I get a warm glow when I walk down Garrett Lane, thinking of arriving at Plough Lane. I'm not saying that that is the most important thing, because joining the Don's Trust board, I see it as an honour and privilege, being able to even stand, firstly, and our model allows for that and should always allow for that, because the club is its people, its supporters. We all know that. People, players, managers, groundsmen come and go, but we remain. And I'm standing because I believe that the board needs good people. It needs balanced thinking. It needs a selection of board members who understand what we've built up here needs protection. It needs support to flourish. And I'm seeing good people who are leaving the board because of various reasons, including heated behaviours. And the prevailing comment I've received in the run-up to this is, you're putting yourself up for election to the board. Have you lost your mind? And then I'm thinking, well, if that is the attitude people have towards it, something's very wrong, and it empowers me to want to jump in even more, to be honest. I believe I have professional experience which I can give to my time on the board if I get elected. I believe since the last time I was on the board, which is nearly 20 years ago, I'm a far more rounded and resilient person. My background is in media, radio, events, presentation, content management, and online apps. And you know, I said about the dream and the golden part at the beginning, I'm involved in promoting jazz music. And if you're not emotionally invested in it, then it's a hopeless task, hopeless. But you have to have pragmatists around you. Naturally, I gravitate towards that presentational communication side of being amongst our fan base and with what I do at match days. I'd like to build and support better understanding of our ownership model and engage with lapsed members as well more, because that was always a problem. And on the last bit of the question, I hope to have explored and reviewed all of the ways which we as one club can communicate with our stakeholders, our fans, and make sure that their journey into it is, you know, as easy and as logical as possible. No more ticketing debacles to be presided over, and no more convoluted, confusing web journeys. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to be missing out unless we embrace the future in that way.
Okay, thanks very much, Chris. Just again, does anyone have anything that they wanted to follow up on?
This is Jules. It's just a build, you know. It's a bit like, hey, building's on fire, let's run in and help. That's definitely the vibe. This isn't us, you know, right top of Division One. The club needs us. You know, I think I share Chris's energy in that.
Yeah.
And motivation.
Absolutely. No. Point. Anybody else? Okay. In that case, I think we've wrapped on question one. Go to question two. And so this time I'll get Adam to answer this first this time. And so we'll go Adam, Jules, Chris, and Richard last on offer this question two. So question two. What do you see as the three immediate challenges for your club over your prospective term on the board? And what specifically do you suggest the board should be doing to meet those challenges? And how would Wimbledon supporters be able to judge that those challenges have been met? Okay, so we start with Adam.
Cool, thanks. Yeah, obviously, struggling to think of sort of three immediate challenges. I think they're all sort of interwoven. But I guess if I was to go down to make sure I say three, I think unity. So Chris has already talked about getting behind what it means to own Wimbledon. So working that out. So unity would be one of the challenges. Income, I think, is clearly seems to be a challenge, that we haven't got enough income to be more competitive than we currently are potentially on the pitch. And I think wrapped around all that is sorting out the mission. Because I think if you want to make the fan base united, the local communities united, if you want to increase your income and all those kind of things, you need to have a really clear mission, which is what I'm really interested in that piece, as I've sort of said in my manifesto and other things, that I think if we get that right, we can then take that through to the operational level for the members of staff there who need to do the kind of day-to-day things to make sure they understand that when they're making the deals and doing the operational things that they do that with that kind of mission in their mind, and they understand without our interference to make the right choices around selecting sponsorship and all those kind of things. Mm. So for me, it sort of wraps those things up. Obviously, on the mission point, I think it's about leveraging our USP and what makes us different and really going to town on that. I just don't feel that we've done that. I think we've had this mission of getting to Plough Lane. And that's been done. Brilliant. Fantastic. We've sorted out a lot of those things. We had the debt. We know we've sorted out the bridging loan, all that stuff. But now I think we need something for everyone to get behind again. And when the first team aren't necessarily doing as well as we would all like, that often is the thing we get behind. But also as a different, unique club, we need the bigger thing to get behind. So I'd like to talk to people. And I think if we get that right, then we can drive our income up through not only connecting with local businesses and local communities that have an understanding that we are about people, and that those people extend not just from the fan base, but to the people around the stadium, to the people who aren't interested in football, but they want to have a beacon in their community that says positive and does positive things. But then also, I think when you look at the broader picture of the world, you know, if we can stand up to be different and to make choices that make us you know, sensible, sustainable, ethical, green, all those kind of things, you can attract fans from around the world. And that could come in not just in terms of people, you know, coming to a match, but of course in terms of people providing sponsorship. So when we look at people like John Green and those kind of people, you know, they are bringing those levels of sponsorship and income because we are different. And I think there is some work to be done already to get us down to the 75%. Actually, I think we do need to have all that investment sorted down to 75, and I don't know the discussions beyond what we do after that, and I don't know enough about what it means to go below 75% ownership at this point, but I do think that's the first hurdle, is let's get to there before we start worrying about whether we can go to 50+1 or whatever the other options are. So yeah, what was the bit, how would Wimbledon supporters be able to judge those challenges we've met? Well, I guess they'd see more income. They'd see more, you know, the players on the pitch would be doing better. I think they'd see, I don't know, just different sponsorships, more interesting things happening at the club, you know, more things like the Oktoberfest, more things like the quiz nights, just more activities going on. So, yeah, that is my time.
Okay, great. Anyone got anything they wanted to pick up with Adam? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands, so we'll move on, and I think we're going to go to Jules second on this one. Are you okay to go straight in again, Jules? Or yeah,
yes, I'm going to helpfully play back the question and the answer in my media training. Okay, so what do you see as the three immediate challenges for the club over the term and the prospective term in the board? I should stress, I share a lot of Adam's energy and positivity around that. I think one of the major problems is communication. Having done this before, I've learned that, you know, people don't make when there's an information gap, human beings don't tend to fill it with positive intent. They kind of read the worst, and we've got to do a better job of communicating. I think that's really, as Adam says, creating one team out of all our fan base and the players on the pitch, and that's something which I've seen, you know, falling apart a little bit. And I think it's to do with the results on the pitch, obviously, which we can't affect. And I also stress that means I don't look at, you know, I'm newer to the workings of the Don's Trust and the board, but it's I definitely lean towards the kinder inclination that everyone's working their ass off under duress. They've worked through a huge situation getting back to Plough Lane or back to the stadium. We're a league club. We've got the stadium debt, you know, put in the hands of the fans, and we can't have it taken away from them. That's huge, and we should really respect that. And number two, we need a healthy company, a healthy P&L, you know, map for different scenarios, going up, staying in the league. I was a bit worried a few months ago that we might be having an even worse scenario to have to plan out. But obviously with 8 games unbeaten, I'm feeling a lot better about that. But we need to map that out, have a healthy business. I've got a bunch of, you know, business experience at companies at various levels on board participation as well. Happy to contribute to that, you know, because without functioning profitable company, we're lost. And then, you know, just come back to what Adam says, we need a clear vision for the club. There's lots of ways of doing that, you know, vision, mission, how, what, why, whatever you do. But we need a good plan for the next 20 years that everyone can rally around. It's clearly understandable. It doesn't sit on the board. It sits and it's owned by the fans. It's on our website with the FC Wimbledon website. It's a natural extension. Just as Adam says, who we are being fan owned, I think people all over the world are looking at us. Can this work? Does this work? And I think it's a huge responsibility, not to each other as fans, but football as a whole. And I think we should honour that and make sure we're representing the best of that. So I'd love to be a part of shaping that mission. You know, I've done that a bunch with companies from new startups who depressingly are worth $20 million with the deck or multi-billion companies. So I just see we're just at the beginning of this, and we've got so much potential to tap into. And look, fans, it's a feeling. How will the fans judge it? It's how they're feeling on a Saturday at 5 p.m. or 4:45 at the end of the day. That's the ultimately, my day's a lot better when we win, you know, and that's the work that we do helps that happen. So that's it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jules. Does anyone have anything they wanted to bring up or comment on? No, this is all very friendly. It's very good. I like it. Yeah. Could we next go on to Chris next? Chris, are you again okay to go straight in?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
The three part question. Number one, the board priority to ensure a structure that's in place that allows the football club to work logically, you know, as a business and also as a successful team, allowing those elements to run themselves efficiently. And this work, you know, it's already been done actually by the Don's Trust board. It's already been tabled. I'm confident that that's going to make a huge difference to who we are and how we operate and give that uplift. Also to drive home the ethos that defines who we are. You know, we're a club for the people, by the people, and that's a hugely attractive proposition that's going to help us build for the future. And I don't think we've even begun to shout about this enough with all the move and the building of the stadium. I think we've lost sight of that a little bit. In my opinion, in every line of sight, it should have a message about how this club came to fruition. It is the greatest story in football, etc. But that whole We Are Wimbledon thing, we haven't yet exploited that. And we also need to understand and recognise how our support has changed and grown from King's Meadow to Plough Lane and how to adapt to that and harness it. You know, we're talking about Generation Z and beyond. And do they pick up a program on the way into the stadium? I doubt it. So that we have to look at the way that we communicate with our fans, just like the other guys have been saying. And then, you know, the third part is to carefully prepare for and manage the friendly debts that we have from the bonds and how that's going to affect us and the contingency for that, especially in an economically unstable environment. But more importantly, to visualise AFC Wimbledon as a championship club in a stadium that's fit for that. Even if we don't get there, we need to visualise that and exploit every possible way of generating revenue through Plough Lane, preparing for the next phase of development of the stadium as well. And a lot of this seems to also already be underway, and the Don's Trust should just make sure that that's managed. That's me.
Okay, thanks very much, Chris. And once again, anyone got anything they'd like to bring up? No, we're getting.
I'd just like to clarify that when I said it's already underway, I'm talking about the appointment of the MD and the search for the head of football, etc. Yeah. In case anyone was wondering, what do you mean by that?
Okay, no, great, thank you. Thanks for that clarification. In which case, we go on to Richard. Richard, again, do you want me to read the question again, or are you happy to go in?
I'm happy, thanks.
Okay, great.
So one thing I really want to do is to make a clear difference between what is the Don's Trust board and the Don's Trust and the club, because there's been too many blurred lines. So for the club, increasing commercial revenue to allow us to service the debt and provide more for the playing budget. And I think that we're doing that by bringing in Danny Macklin. I think that's already underway, and we'll see the benefits of that hopefully coming through soon, but long term, definitely. The second thing is to bring in football experience, again, to improve the playing squad, making better use of the budget that we've got, and also providing continuity. If managers may leave, but if we have that ethos of youth coming through and so on, that's essential. And again, we're recruiting for a head of football operations role. So this is already underway. And then the third point for the club is ensuring that the debt can be paid. And again, the finance committee are working on how can we raise enough money to pay one back? Do you roll over bonds? Do people, do we go through debt? Do we go through equity? Having all those questions, having contingencies and so on. For the Don's Trust, I think the first one for me is working collaboratively. From what I've seen from the candidates, there's quite a lot of big personalities and opinions might clash. But everyone here wants what's best for this club, but wants it in a slightly different way. So we need to make sure we work together to achieve this through professional working relationships. So that's going to be one thing to look for. The second thing, six people are stepping down, potentially seven. And we need to make sure that the strategy that has been built continues and improves. There's no point resetting now, because that's going to be a lot of work. Every year you can't just start a new strategy again and again. So it's important that we have the continuity. And in my opinion, we should have some KPIs to track how are we progressing towards this strategy. And then finally, lack of communication and transparency. We need to have a structured process for communications.
Okay. Thank you very much, Richard. Is anything anyone wants to pick up on there? The others? No? No, that looks like we're wrapped up with question two then. So thanks everyone for your answers on that one. Move on to question three. Jules, we'll have you going first this time, followed by Chris, then Richard, then Adam. So question three, longer term, what do you see as the strategic role of the Don's Trust board, and what would you like to see it focus on? Aside from the priorities and challenges already discussed, are there any specific things you think the board should or shouldn't be doing? Okay, so over to Jules on that one.
Great. I'll go backwards on that. Are there any things the board should or shouldn't be doing? Well, we shouldn't be running the company or the club. I think we should be representing the ownership and the fans that own the club. And the day-to-day operations of the club should be run by professionals with relevant football or business experience and hospitality, football, and whatever it is. I think that's a really key thing. I also completely recognize this club exists because people put themselves forwards over the course of 20 years, their expertise and their time, wherever it was needed. And I think we should honor and respect that. None of this is a repudiation of those efforts. It's the reason we're here. But I think this transition into a fully professional club and company is what needs to happen, whilst retaining our soul, which is we're owned by the fans. So that's key. And I think the strategic role of the Don's Trust should be representing the ownership, again, not running it, running the day-to-day, setting out the vision, owning the vision, manifested by engaging with the fans and the other owners to map the next 20 years out, and just making sure along the way we're touching base with the people who we've employed to execute that plan. And just as Richard said, we do that through OKRs or whatever structure we need, and it should be very visible and transparent. But that's, I think, the job of the Don's Trust board, to represent the fans. That would be it. We shouldn't be running the day-to-day operations of the club. That's it.
Okay. Thanks ever so much, Jules. Does anything any would like to add to that? Ask about it? No? Okay. In which case, for question three, we'll go on to Chris next. Chris, again, are you happy to go straight in?
I am.
Great.
This is a question about the strategic position of the Don's Trust. Then, you know, I'm going to echo what Jules said in the last entry there, that really it's important that the skilled staff at the club are able to do their jobs and flourish. And once that strategy is fully in, to see the trust as purely scrutiny and critical decision making, and ensuring that the right executives run the club and bring in the right skill sets to make it a successful entity. Those people that know about football and that know about the business side and working with partners, incredibly important. Also to draw together the community organizations that we already have to help celebrate the legacy of the club and bring them together for the betterment and promotion of the future, and bring that message right to the forefront. You know, that as I mentioned before, great historian football thing. Also, again, going back to understanding who our supporters are now and how they engage and what do they expect from the club, and above and beyond winning on the pitch, of course, the trust for me has a crucial role in understanding and listening to what all people who attend the games are saying, and for a steer, and obviously representing the members' concerns and their democratic rights, and making sure that all that functions well. But the trust also, for me, has a crucial role in researching and gathering critical facts and figures that could lend itself to the full working business. You know, on how you know, diversity can improve the bottom line, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, thanks very much, Chris. Again, anything they wanted to bring up? Any follow-ups? No, doesn't look like we do. Okay, we'll move on to Richard next, please. Richard, do you want the... are you okay to go straight in?
Yeah, but I think Jules had a question.
Oh, did you? Oh, Jules, did you have a question? Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it's just a bit of a build. I mean, there's a bubbling up of whether the club should sell to a kind of an entity or a sugar daddy of some kind. I think one key thing we need to do is to put that away for a couple of years by finding out whether we should even considering offers for a period of time. You know, let's have a moratorium on spending the trust time to even consider something like that, so we can focus or not focus on it. So I think that's just a bit like the national shit show we've just gone through as a country. That bubbling in the background while we're trying to get everyone running a country or a club is not helpful. So that's something we can easily address, not as a black and white whether we sell or not, is should we be spending time doing that. But I just want to add that to the mix because that's important. We don't distract ourselves.
Okay. No, thanks for that, Jules. Okay. Did anyone else have anything they wanted to add to that? Or okay. We'll go back to Richard then. Sorry about the interruption there.
No, that's fine. That's fine. So again, as echoed by other people, the Don's Trust Board is an oversight board. So overseeing the PLC and, or PLC being AFC Wimbledon and also the Don's Trust. I think the theme groups are an excellent start. You know, it really categorises what we need to focus on. Certain groups will need more focus than others, such as community and membership and engagement. But over the long term, they are all really, really important as a strategic direction. I think that there also needs to be a bit more of a clear line between what's expected from the Don's Trust and what's expected from the PLC. And I think that what the Don's Trust should be doing at the moment as a priority is focusing on all the good stuff that has been done, building upon it, and then also engaging with fans and members so that they can see all the good stuff that the Don's Trust has done and is doing. And I think that's been missing slightly. And I think that's essential to, you know, bring everyone together and move in one direction forwards.
Yep. Thank you. That's great. Thank you. Again, anyone got any points they wanted to raise? No, I'm getting no's. Okay. In which case, we're on to Adam as the final person on question three. Are you okay to just go in, Adam, again?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, perfect.
I think it's quite nice being last because everyone has said all the things I want to say. So I'm going to try and say some stuff that maybe we haven't said. And I think the reason we aren't saying much is because we do generally agree with each other from what I can tell. And I think we're just saying it in using different words to say the same things, and some of us are better at using certain words than others, so that's great. Some people have said some things that I've totally agree with. I guess I just want to echo that, yeah, what the board shouldn't be doing is running the club. You know, that's for professionals, etc. So yeah, again, Jules mentioned that at the beginning. In terms of the folk, you know, there's the strategic role of the Don's Trust is to represent the owners, the fans. And so it's working out how do we make that work better. And we've talked about communication being key to that. So I think there's a bit of work to be done longer term to improve our communication strategy, to make sure that all members and other fans can have a voice, and that voice can go through the board, because that's what the board is there to represent. I think Chris mentioned about getting like critical facts and figures. I think that's really, really good. I think one of the things that we probably don't represent in the stadium is the diversity that's around the stadium in terms of the different types of people that actually live and work near the stadium. And I think there's some, so a big piece I'd like to see is us working on how do we encourage more different people, you know, to come to football who maybe felt intimidated in other spaces, because we have heard, you know, from various other surveys and that people feel safe coming to our ground. And so I think we can again leverage that safety and that, you know, welcomingness to say, hey, come and be different, and be different with us because we are different. And again, I think, not, you know, I'll make sure I'm not rambling, but it's about that bigger picture, isn't it? You know, football is in a really bad place business wise. I think it's something like 68% of the clubs are insolvent currently. Why would we want to go down that route? So again, we kind of want to say, look, actually you can do things different by having a different model, and that model is by listening and working with our fans, the community, and being owned by the people that really care.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much, Adam. Is there anything anybody wants to add or question? No, as Adam said, everyone's agreeing. It's just a very civilized hustings, isn't it? Okay. So that's question three completed by everybody. So the final question is now question four. So on this one, Chris to go first on this one, followed by Richard, then Adam, and then Jules. And question four is, do you think deeper and or wider supporter engagement with the Trust is required? And if so, what specifically would you do to drive that? And how would supporters be able to judge success? So that's question four. So starting off with Chris.
I do think deeper and or wider supporter engagement with the Trust is required. One of the things that alarmed me really was the representation of the candidates that stood up for this election. Although we got good numbers, sadly there are no women. I don't think there's anyone from any kind of ethnic background, if I'm recalling right. For me, a priority would be to work for greater representation across the board in terms of its makeup, and women in particular, and other groups. And an imperative to me is to strive to engage with a more diverse fan base as well. We need diversity of thinking in our midst to have a positive impact on what we're doing. Particularly, this is proven to work with bottom lines and bring in more income. We need to, I think, engage with other clubs at the Don's Trust and make inquiries and work and just ask, you know, what things have you done that have succeeded in your community to bring in a more diverse audience and build up your fan base? We have a brilliant community asset, which I think the Don's Trust should fully support a more extensive use of. And maybe on the touchy-feely community side, we really need to make that available to more groups to come in and enjoy the use of that particular facility. We also need to understand that the next generation of our fans that are coming in now, we've virtually doubled from before. A lot of Generation X, a lot of Generation Z fans who have a different way of consuming things and different values. They are value driven, these kids. And I think we should embrace that and understand that and figure out how do we get to them. Like I said earlier, none of these kids are really going to pick up a program on the way in, but there may be other ways we can get directly to our audience and to our stakeholders and supporters. And I'd like to build the brand of the club internationally and at home with partnerships. And just looking down my notes here, Yeah, well, that's it. I'm falling back into my previous statement. So yeah, that's basically it for that. It's okay. About how people feel about the club, really, and I think the Don's Trust has that in its hands and should nurture that.
Great, thank you, Chris. Is there anything anyone wants to add to that at all? I'm getting no's. Okay, if we move on to Richard for question four. Richard, are you okay to dive in again?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Cool.
So short answer, yes. Long answer is there's so many diverse opinions within the Trust and the wider fan base. And I feel it's important to listen to all of those views, regardless of whether they're members or not, and also regardless of what side of the fan ownership fence they sit on, you know, because all the views should be listened to. And then it's up to the collective to work together to go, is this the right decision? So the way that I see it is that Don's Trust is a supporters group, and all the supporters should feel welcome to join in if they want to. You know, they should feel like they want to be part of it because it is for the supporters. And I mean, the main aims of a supporters group is to deliver representation for the club and to promote supporter and community engagement. So if we're not doing those two things correctly, then, you know, no wonder there's this big, you know, infighting within the club. So I think to resolve this, there needs to be a lot of we could do fan engagement surveys, you know, have them annually, quarterly, monthly, and then we can track how is it improving. You know, are there certain things which are really easy, quick wins that we can focus on to then improve, to then make the whole experience better? And then once the experience is better, it will then help to bring in even more people, and then so on and so forth. So again, yeah, I think KPIs would be a good way of tracking that progress, even if it's just red, amber, green, you know.
Absolutely. Thank you, Richard. Is there anything anybody wanted to... I've got a question from Adam, I think.
Yeah, I couldn't work out how to raise my hand in this different mode. Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to kind of come back on that because I don't think there is a big division. I think I don't think there is a big division. I think there's some individuals who feel that investment from a private investor that takes away ownership is a positive thing. But I don't think it's a big, I think, you know, again, we go back. I mean, I mentioned the stats in most of the last survey showed that I got it wrong. It's more than 94%, 95.1% of those surveyed said that we should stay fan owned. So I'm not against listening to other points of view. That's not what I'm saying. But I do think we need to be aware that I don't think there's a big division. I think what we want to do is focus on where we want to go. And also that might be that we may not win over some of those people to understanding that model, but I suspect if we are winning every Saturday and we had more money coming in being fan owned, that they would be less noisy, as it may be the word. So I just wanted, yeah, I think the term big is maybe inappropriate.
So just to clarify, it's not just the fan ownership versus not fan ownership. I think it's the fan base in general. Some people just want to watch football. You know, some people feel they want to be part of the Trust. Some people want to get rid of fan ownership. Some people don't. Some people feel like they're not being listened to. It's just kind of, and there's lots of people go, I don't want to join the Don's Trust because of XYZ. So it's more than just that particular topic. It's just in general, I think we've become a bit fragmented and we need to pull together like we did when we started in 2002, like we did for Plough Lane, like we did for, you know, moving up the league so quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, thank you. So I think now if we now move on to Adam for question four.
Yeah, great. Yeah. I mean, I think that actually follows into what I'm going to say on this question about the supporter engagement with the Trust. I think that engagement doesn't mean you have to be a member. And so I think we need to work out a way to ensure that people understand why you'd want to be a member and why you'd make that decision and make that as easy as possible. And of course, we should extend that initially to season ticket holders, those kind of people, and make it really easy. But they need to know why they're joining and what that means. So what does it mean to be a member? You know, so being a member might mean that you get to have a vote on whether we, you know, get sponsored by an arms dealer or whatever, right? Or a gambling company. But it, being a member doesn't necessarily mean that you can't complain that it takes too long to get a cup of tea at half time. But you do need to engage through the trust in some capacity. So I think that for me is really, really important that we do. Yes, the simple answer is yes, we want wider, deeper engagement. And I think the things that are kind of starting to work for me with that is the theme groups. I think they're really good. And I think that will allow fans to engage because they can see very specifically through those terms of reference how they might engage in that. Again, I don't see why they would need to be members to engage with those theme groups. So that would be, again, up to, you know, the themes, I suppose, to decide that. And Chris has talked about, you know, that our work on engaging with more of a diverse audience of our fans, local community, those kind of things. I think we need to do that and we should do that because it's the right thing to do. But again, as Chris indicates, diverse organisations outperform non-diverse organisations. And I think, again, when we look at the candidates and that kind of stuff, we aren't diverse enough. So I did put that in one of my responses on Pro Boards that one of the issues we do have now is we need to start addressing so that in the next elections that there are more diverse candidates standing. And the first thing to do is to get more diverse members so they can stand. Oh, how would I judge success? The other thing is the Don's Trust membership has gone up. It's the biggest it's ever been. We've got more fans than we've ever had. I guess to see continued increase in those spaces, continued attendance increases, continued membership increases.
Okay, thank you very much. Adam, is there anything anyone wanted to raise with Adam? Okay. I think that's a no from everybody. And so finally, it's Jules to finish off question four.
Cool. Thank you. So do you think deeper and or wider support to engagement and trust is required? Yes. Yes and yes. I think one of the key things is communication. I don't think things are either, as everyone said, are as bad as they actually are in terms of our supposed divisions. I think a lot of it is us communicating and being transparent in what we do. To change that, you know, we can improve communication. Look, I'm newer to things, which I think is kind of interesting, coming with a fresh perspective. I've been involved with lots of companies over the years, but it seems a bit Byzantine. I'm jumping on Pro Boards to answer like questions five threads down. That doesn't seem very kind of great for consumers, so to speak, who are our fans. I don't expect anyone normal who's a season ticket holder to even to like get a registration, wait a couple of days for someone to approve it, make your profile, jump down a thread and answer about like strange questions. So I think we can improve that. We need to be consumer friendly and fan friendly. So I think there's a lot we can do there. There's a lot we can take from the startup space, you know, in terms of doing that. And I think the key thing that is it everything community communication comes under brand. We set the vision clearly, do that work transparently, engage everyone in the process. I would say brand's a very nebulous word. I've done a bunch of it, but it's just a set of systems and processes that you facilitate to get people around the table to understand each other and to get everyone together around a vision. And that dictates what you do and what you don't do. So I'm not getting lost in the world of brand, but it's a process, you know, which Adam's come back to a lot and it's super useful. So how we judge success? Again, when it comes to brand, at the end of the day, it's a feeling. You know, just like, as I said, 4:45, you're in a good mood or in a bad mood for an hour or a couple of hours. But, you know, it's the success of the club. And that isn't necessarily a scientific formula. It's how we feel about the club. And how you feel is about communicating. And that's, I think, that's how we'll judge success.
Great. Thank you, Jules. Does anyone have anything they wanted to flag with Jules or ask? Okay, I think that's a no. So that was the final question. So thank you, everybody, for all of your answers to those questions. It's been really, really interesting to hear them. I think, as Joe mentioned, we're going to give everyone 2 minutes each just to wrap up and to basically any closing remarks you want to make, you know, your final pitch to say vote for me. So I think for this, if we just go back to the starting order. So if we start with Richard and then Adam, Jules and Chris. So Richard.
Yes, thank you. So I am 30 years old, so I'm relatively younger than most of the candidates, although I know Josh is even younger than I am. What I'm aiming to do is bring a fresh perspective and a representation for younger members. In addition to that, I've reached a stage in my career where I can provide strategic expertise and a vision. And I think that combination is really useful. As a person, I'm very tenacious, skeptical and open. You know, if I want something done, I'll ask the questions and put in the effort to make it happen. If I don't agree with something, I'll ask questions and provide a different point of view. You know, if there's someone more knowledgeable than me, then I'll lean on their knowledge. You know, I'm not always right 100% of the time, but it's, again, working together to bring out the best. And I think this election is a good opportunity to look back on what has happened over the last 5 years and reflect on what the Dons Trust has done well and what it can do better. To me, part of this is putting the fans at the heart of what we do. You know, it's what it should be, and maybe we're wavering, but we need to reel that back in. You know, when we have decisions about season ticket prices, you know, did that go through the fans? Yes, it did. If we have decisions about kit cycles being 1 year, 2 year, did that go through the fans? No, it didn't. But bringing it all back in, I think communication and young fan engagement has always been a black hole for a lot of DT members over all the years we've been around. And I think any solution should be welcome, but that's not what I'm all about. So I'm standing to improve the culture of the Dons Trust, you know, honesty, integrity, openness to listen to everyone. I'm standing to implement a shadow board. Now, this is a good way to add diverse opinions to the Dons Trust. It's a good pathway for young adults to become Dons Trust members, and also for young, Dons Trust board members, but also it helps them to give a holistic view of every aspect of the club. And I'm starting to work as a team, you know, work as a team to drive the club forward and achieve its strategic aims.
Thank you, Richard. Okay. Next up is Adam with your closing statement.
Sure. I think this is a tricky one, isn't it, actually? Because you kind of end up saying the same stuff that's on your manifesto. But I think for me, I mean, I want to bring that enthusiasm to the board as a new member, and to be kind of, you know, in the corner asking the questions of like, have we thought about this? What about that? But also it's a bit, the bit that really does interest me is that new mission. So that, you know, in these instances with branding ourselves, I'm not trying to sell myself, but I'm not very good at that. But I think if we can get that mission right, then we talk to the people that Chris has outlined, you know, the younger audiences, the kind of things they want, and build that into that strategy. Because again, when you talk, you know, you talk to young people, they are concerned about the environment. They are concerned about the choices of the things they purchase, etc. You know, I don't think we made a bit. I mean, I mentioned the Eco 8 football shirt. I don't think we made a big enough deal about that, you know, because that would, you know, again, it shows that we're making really good choices about the kind of sustainability across the piece. So for me, I think it's just bringing that enthusiasm to be able to, you know, talk about how you can engage with different people, and to think just at how we kind of grow from this point onwards. Because I think we are we're at a point where we need to make our stand and really kick on. And I think that, you know, everyone that's standing is bringing lots of enthusiasm, which I think is great. And so I'm excited about where we can go. So I'm hoping I could be one of those people to continue that enthusiasm and excitement.
Great. Thank you, Adam. Okay. And then next up with your closing remarks is Jules.
Thank you. Just to stress, you know, I'm based in New York. I'm in London a lot, but I'm looking at participating remotely. I know we've had a member of the West Coast do that before. I can accommodate them my time. That's no problem at all. I'm also looking at potentially one of the 1 year slots, because I know it's a remote role. So I want to make sure that works for the club as well. So that's what I want to be clear about. I also want to state my respect for everyone who's been part of the Dons Trust and a volunteer over the last 20 years. It's very easy to come in and poke fingers and make accusations, but a hell of a lot's been done. We should reflect on the success we've had, what an amazing journey it's been. So I think I want to share that energy that you know, I want to build on that. And also say, I'm super comforted by the quality of candidates, even today's conversation. There's a lot of really great people who care about the club, that come from the right place, can offer a huge amount of expertise. So I was fearing that, Christ, no one's going to run, club needs me. And I'm actually super happy if I'm a participant, I'm allowed to help. But even if I'm not, I'm so buoyed by the quality of everyone and the spirit they're coming. So, you know, again, like, I think we really need a clear vision for the next 20 years of the club. Just as Adam said, we've got lots of expertise on the board, in our fan base. And, you know, I'm very familiar with the process by which you kind of go about mining and surfacing that with companies of all kinds of different sizes. And I'd love to contribute that. Lots of relevant experience in football. But yeah, I think it's as simple as that. We've got to communicate better, set a vision for the next 20 years. And I just think, you know, we've had the potential to be a global brand, and we're very much at the beginning of our journey, and that's a huge amount to build on. And I look forward to, if possible, contributing to that. That's me.
Okay, thank you ever so much, Jules. And finally, last but by no means least, we've got Chris. Chris, with your final closing remarks.
Yeah, I'd like to echo what all the other guys say. In fact, we're in a bit of an echo chamber here, really, aren't we? We're all having a love in here, which is great, you know. But it sort of led me to my question at the beginning about the reshuffling of names. But nevertheless, I'm also buoyed, as Julian said, by the quality of the candidates standing. I'm personally standing because I love where we're at now. We're back home. I get that warm feeling when I'm walking towards the stadium. I get that weird kind of dreamy sense when I'm looking at the pitch in Plough Lane. And we already have a super strong brand at AFC Wimbledon. We're already everybody else's second club. You know, we're like, oh, I always check your results after I check Arsenal's, Tottenham's, whatever. And we need to capitalize on that. And I think we need to be able to give people a little bit of something to own of AFC Wimbledon that goes beyond just coming to the game. You know, we need to embrace digital technologies to build and promote our brand and build and promote our democratic ownership model. And I believe that the trust has a duty to find innovative ways of doing that, and also finding a unified and aesthetically pleasing way, an easy way for people to engage with us, because it's not been easy with all the different URLs and different websites and all of these things. As I mentioned, some of our younger fans have got, you know, very value-driven approach to life, even though we perhaps don't see that. But we really need to get into that and look at the future and look at these fans coming up, because us old fogies will be dying off soon. And as speaking as someone that sat in a room with Charles Koppel and wasted an hour and a half trying to convince him that it wasn't the right thing to do, and he just didn't listen. And I'm not for selling at this stage to a private entity in whole or part, because it doesn't guarantee anything, and it certainly doesn't guarantee that anyone's going to listen. And that's the beauty of our model. And I'm standing because I know I have a voice and I want to use it, and I want to be able to take soundings from people and try and improve the whole feeling about the club and the strength and the potential that we have over the next 10 to 15 years.
Great. Thank you, Chris. So that's the final closing statement. So for me, I'm just going to say thank you to all of you, and thank you for giving up your time. We really appreciate it. And I think it's absolutely incredibly important that the hustings, something that I've always listened to, along with reading candidates' manifestos to make up my mind. So it's really, really important. So thank you. And I'm just going to pass back to Joe to finish things off.
Yeah, I absolutely echo Hazel's thanks. I'd just like to remind everybody that all of the candidates' manifestos are on the Dons Trust website, and there is the ability to follow up on this session or anything in the manifestos by questioning the candidates on pro boards. So the two addresses for those are the manifestos at https://thedonstrust.org/elections/2022-election. And Pro Boards is at https://donstrustboards.net. Donstrust.boards.net, correction. I'd like to thank all of the candidates for standing and putting their time and energy into this campaign. Obviously, I'd like to particularly thank the attendees on this session, Chris Phillips, Adam Proctor, Jules Earhart, and Richard Steppard. And thanks to everybody for listening.